Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and give the Lord a clap and a shout for amazing evangelistic efforts. Amen. Is God a gracious God? Wow. Is it possible to reach 100 million for the Lord? 2 years ago, it was almost 10 million. Now, it's over 10 million. I believe that God is going to help us as we reach out more and more. 100 million shall be won. Hell shall be depopulated. Come on, shout a loud amen. We want to thank God for the evangelist and the great effort that the ministry is making. Why don't you clap your hands for the Lord one more time for this great, great, great grace that is upon the life of the evangelist and the ministry. Be seated. And I believe that the documentaries are the best you can ever watch. And the beautiful times. And we thank God for all the places that many people in this country, I'm sure many of you have not been to some of these places before, but God has sent a servant to reach these places for the Lord. And we thank God for these things. I believe that your prayers and all your efforts that you make towards the Healing Jesus campaign will help to reach 100 million for the Lord. Amen. Well, before we carry on tonight, we are blessed to have very great men and women of God here. Tonight is the last night, unfortunately, of the this conference, Give Yourself Holy conference. And tonight is the last night. We have had great men and women of God sitting here to receive. And it is right. And we cannot introduce everybody, but at least one or two can come up and say hello to us. So with Jesus' joy, I'd like to invite the General Secretary of Assemblies of God in the whole of South Africa, Apostle Lafoy, to come up to bring us special greetings. Apostle Lafoy, please welcome him, welcome him. He's the father of many ministers right here in this country. Oh, clap for the Lord as you welcome this great servant of God. He's Pastor Chris's spiritual father.
You may be seated. Good evening, everyone. The best 3 days I've spent in all my life. The most profitable days. On behalf of our churches in South Africa, all of them, we want to say to Dag Ewart Mills, the team, and those behind the scenes we never see, for making all of this possible. The Healing Jesus Crusade. When great preachers come to South Africa, they go to Gauteng, Egoli, because there's gold there. They come to Cape Town, because there's money here. They never touch Umtata. They never touch Uppington. They don't know these cities exist, but God knows that they exist. And many of these cities that have been touched has never had such a visitation. And I thank God for that time. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, the people who sat in darkness has seen great light. And those who sat in the region of the valley of the shadow of death, their light has come. For too many years, we've referred to Africa as the dark continent. When pseudo-anthropologists declared that the African man was a different kind of creature. He's a man, but a different kind of man. And so even Pentecostals, they could speak in tongues on a Sunday and beat a man's brains out because of the color of his skin on a Monday and sleep and feel nothing from the devil. But out of the darkness, hallelujah, not only has the light shone on us, but from us, after this seminar, may we take that light, not just to Africa, but to the entire world. That God has raised an African man and an African team to do what is being done. It's a process of the restoration of our human dignity and our sense of self-worth. Say, we can. We can. And we will. For too long we've been missioned by others. But the time has now come for us to send men and women. To send them to dark Europe. Europe is dark. May the Lord raise up, and may this 3 days raise up men and women who's going to make a difference in the world. The xenophobia that stopped healing Jesus to come to Durban is a shame and a blot on us as a nation. Because when we and our children fled the brutality of apartheid north of the Limpopo, it was Africa who succored us. It was Africa who fed us. And now the word of the Lord tells us, you must care for the stranger as those who are homeborn. I salute the whole team. I salute you, Doug. You don't know what this has done. You've not counted the cost. Because if you counted the cost, you would not go to Kuruman, King Williamstown, Queenstown. We'll go where there's money. But thank God for the heart that is raised out of the darkness of Africa.
Oh, come on, stand to your feet and give a lot of praise for this wonderful apostle, Father in the land. Wow. 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 Thank God for fathers. Oh, come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Fathers are speaking. These are deep things that he has spoken. While standing, I want us to welcome one of the leaders of one of the great denominations in this country, AFM, the leader in this whole region, Apostle Trevor Herbert, to come up. Come on, clap your hands. Hallelujah!
You may be seated. I am humbled by the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Chris and Bishop Dagg. I am responsible to oversee the work of the Apostolic Faith Mission in the Western Cape region. Of our 102 pastors, 80 have attended this conference over the last 3 days. Our national treasurer, Pastor Baron Peterson, attended on Monday and this morning. He is a very busy person, but he stayed through the whole session this morning. And I've asked him, how do you feel about the two sessions that you have attended, and he said, never before has so much value been added to his life in one session. And I have been a pastor for the AFM for a very short while, 31 years. But I acknowledge, Doctor, that after this conference, I am now beginning. No, I'm beginning now. I'm ready to start at 60. I'm ready to start at 60. In the first week of October in 2015, Reverend Ibo, Pastor Chris, Pastor Patrick, and Pastor Fred sat in my lounge, and they asked me, have you heard of Bishop Dagewood Mills? And I had to say to them, regrettably, I have not. And then they said, but will you cooperate with us for the Mitchell's Plain campaign? And I am just so happy that I said yes. And it was such an inspiration. The Mitchell's Plain campaign, the conference at Orion Church, and listening to Bishop Dagg. And over these 3 days, you know, it is not an exaggeration, Apostle Lefoy, to say, never before. I mean, a man of your age, if you say, never before, has 3 days added so much value. And I say the same. I would like to close by saying, it is not an exaggeration to say to the team that have sacrificed all for this great conference, that not only will Cape Town never be the same again, but the world will never be the same again.
Thank you. Oh, come on, stand to your feet. Let's appreciate this wonderful fathers God has blessed this nation with. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. What a blessing to have such great men of God sitting to receive and their contributions make us feel that this has been a worthwhile meeting. I think this meeting has been so amazing and so fantastic. And we thank God for value-added lives. Our lives and ministries will never be the same. As we round up the service for tonight, tonight is the last session. But I believe that what we are receiving is too much. If you ever remain the same, then your destiny is very bad. But you'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Ida.
All the things I had to learn, I'm gonna I'll listen to the messages I have to listen to. I'm gonna do all the things I have to do. I'm gonna pray for all those hours that I have to pray. I'm gonna fast for all those days that I have to fast. I am gonna follow heart, cause I'm a heart follower. My soul followeth heart after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Oh God, thou art my God. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry land, thirsty land, where there is no water. I'll follow hard after thee. Oh, I'll follow hard after thee. I'm gonna wait upon you, Lord, till I hear from you. I'm gonna follow your servants, those who follow after you. I'm gonna follow the fathers that you gave to me. Out on the man of God who teaches me the word. I am gonna serve the man you called me to serve. Catch the anointing that is upon them. Remember the good they have done for me. I am gonna follow heart, cause I'm a heart follower. My soul followeth heart after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Oh, oh God, thou art my God. And my soul who need a shepherd. I will follow up those who I must follow up. I am gonna find those who are waiting for my visit. I am gonna seek for those who need the Lord. I am gonna find the lost and dying sheep. Join the army of the Lord. Oh, I'm gonna join the army of heart followers. I am gonna follow heart, cause I'm a heart follower. My soul followeth heart after thee. eternity. I'll be your heart for no heart. I'll follow heart after thee. Yeah. I'll follow heart after thee.
Hello. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this chance we have once again. We are blessed in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to all of you for being here, participating in the conference. Amen. I want to say thank you to Apostle Lafoy for his remarks. Honestly, it's an honor for me to see fathers, people who have fathered and lasted. If you are in the ministry, it's something to last. Just to be there is an achievement. You'll find out with time. And for anyone who is still standing, he's withstood many battles, many storms, many things. Much ungratefulness. And still standing. So it's a great honor, Apostle, and also a pastor from AFM. It's a real honor for you to participate and to be with us. I'm humbled by your presence and all the wonderful pastors here, especially the colored pastors, because I finally found my people in the world. What a blessing. But I really enjoy being with the colored people. They are wonderful people. And it's a blessing to be here in Cape Town with you. Thank the Lord. Now, you see, my father is black. My mother is white. So I'm not on the black man's side or the white man's side. I'm on God's side. Is that not amazing? Job 7 verse 1. The life of man upon earth is a warfare. I don't know which version this is, but it's in my book, The Good General. I want to just talk a bit about fighting from this book, A Good General. All right? And I don't know which version it is, but I'm sure it's a version somewhere. I don't know where we got it from. But life of a man is war. All right? Now, God wants us to fight. Okay? So, 10 reasons why we must learn about war. Number one, Jesus Christ is leading his armies in war. All right, Revelations 19, verse 11. Look at it, Revelations 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Volume, please, help me on stage and everywhere so I don't have to shout. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus Christ. How many are ready to follow Jesus Christ to fight a war? All right? So, number two, why must we be a good general? Why must we learn about war? Because number two, Jesus Christ is a lamb who makes war. In Revelation 17, verse 12. Revelation 17, verse 12. All right? It says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom. And the next verse says, and these shall make war with the lamb. Verse 14, these shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. All right, so there are things that are going to fight you, even though you may be a very peaceful lamb. Yeah, you may be a very peaceful person. But this war I'm talking about, it's not about whether you are peaceful or not. It's what is coming. Number three, the third reason why you must learn about war, and that's why this book, Good General, is very important for you, and that's what I'm teaching from now, is because in Psalm 6:18, verse 34, he says, he teaches my hands to war. God teaches us to war. And war, by the way, it's not just about being strong. You know, it's about learning how to fight and win a war. Are you listening to me? So it's something you have to learn. Teaches. He teaches. So it's very important to learn how to make war. The fourth reason why we must learn about war is because in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight. Verse 12, fight a good fight. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Is that not so? Is that the fourth reason? The fifth reason that we must learn about war is because in 1 Timothy 1:18, he says to Timothy that you might, I'm giving you some prophecies, so that you might by these prophecies war a good warfare. I'm sure you are being surprised by how many scriptures are telling us to go to war and to fight. All these are scriptures telling us to fight and to have to be good at war. All right? So those of you who are lambs of peace, the lamb is also leading us to war. Hey! Number six. The sixth reason why we must learn about war is because the ministry of the Lord, the ministry is called warfare. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Paul said, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Ministry is likened to war. Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Ministry is likened to farming. Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So ministry is likened to sheep farming. What is that called in English? You see, you don't know. Verse 7. The seventh reason why we must learn about war is because Paul described his life and ministry as a fight in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He said, this is how I run. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I don't do just vague things. So fight I. This is how I fight. All right? So ministry is about fighting through. So those of us who want to just relax and say things are going to float to us on beds of ease, flying beds. No. Number eight. The eighth reason why we must learn about war is because we are instructed to have weapons of warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Weapons of warfare. Weapons. For the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. So he doesn't even ask you to fight warfare, but he's assuming that you are in war. The weapons of our warfare. And the ninth reason we are to learn about war is because we are instructed to be strong and to arm ourselves. In Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And in verse 11, and put on the whole armor or arm yourself. Arm yourself. Arm yourself in Cape Town. I said arm yourself in Cape Town. Please do not say I am talking about physical arms. Neither am I talking about a physical war. I beg you, please. It's amazing how you can make somebody say something that he's not saying. Huh? That I came to stir up war and I told people to arm themselves. And to... Hey! What a shock! Be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. And the 10th reason why you must know about war is because there is a war with the dragon and we are part of the war. Look at this. Revelation 12:17. We are at war with a dragon. Make sure you get this book, The Good General. Now listen. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. You keep the commandments of God? So the dragon is fighting those who keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's a dragon fighting us. There's a dragon fighting me, but I'm defeating the dragon. In Jesus' name. Wow. Now, chapter 2, a good general will avoid a foolish fight. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight. So if there's good fights, there's bad fights. Fight that's not necessary. Amen. In 1942, Adolf Hitler invaded the Soviet Union. All right? How many know the Soviet Union, Russia, and all that? So anyway, he was in Russia. And then to go to Russia, it's like this. Look at my hand. You go straight like this to Moscow. Okay? And then down here was Stalingrad. And then up here was Petersburg. Okay? North and then south. So he tried to get Moscow, and it couldn't work. So the next year, he started a new operation and went down to Stalingrad, a big city, next second one, very big, surrounded by the Volga River, all right? And they surrounded the city, the Germans, fought and fought. They entered the city and all that. But after they got in there, the Russians counterattacked and surrounded the Germans inside Stalingrad. Yeah, it wasn't easy for them at all. They surrounded them and they slaughtered them. Right? They fought throughout the winter. There's a film, if you want to see the Battle of Stalingrad, it's called something about a sniper. Enemy at the gates, if you are interested to see the Battle for Stalingrad. Anyway, so in this city, they fought and killed themselves, you know. War is senseless many times. But anyway, they fought. Foolish wars are senseless. So they fought, and at the end, Hitler, who was still sending messages, told them, do not surrender. Do not surrender. Fight to the last man. So the general who was in charge was called Paulus, and he sent him a message. I have promoted you to field marshal. Now, and no field marshal has ever surrendered, by the way. Do you understand? In other words, don't even think of surrendering. But General Paulus said, we are just dying. There is no hope at all. We are completely surrounded. No food, no ammunition, nothing. And he decided not to fight a foolish fight to his death. So even though he was asked to never to surrender, to fight, and he had been promoted, he said, this is a foolish fight, and I will not surrender. So he surrendered to the Russians. They took him in, and he joined them and went on the radio to really campaign against Hitler, that he was a madman who was leading them all to destruction. So if even General Paulus could decide not to fight foolish causes, you also must decide not to fight for foolish things that are not necessary to fight for. Amen? So we must fight the good fight, not the bad fight. So those of you who fight physically with knives and guns and what other kind of fighting you've learned, today marks the end of foolish fighting. In Jesus' name. Ask your neighbor, are you a fighter of any type? Are you a foolish fighter? Are you one of the foolish fighters? What did they say? They are not foolish fighters. Pastor Chris, do you have foolish fighters around? Here. In Cape Town. But in this building. Possible. Somebody asked me, are you going to say something to defend yourself? I said, no, no, no. Say what you want to say. Something else will fight you. Yeah. Not me. Now, chapter 3, 18 good fights. I'm going to show you 18 powerful fights you should fight. Number one, fight to be a strong Christian. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. Number two, fight to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be in the will of God. Fight to hear His voice. Like if you're sitting here, you should be fighting and straining to be and to hear the voice of God and to be in the will of God for your life. It's not easy. You have to fight for it. Otherwise, you may never see it. Amen. Fight to be led by the Spirit. It's a struggle. Many voices will fight for your attention. Hey, you go here. Oh, do this. Do that. Fight to hear His voice. Shut out your phone. Stop it. Cut out the voices of men and start to hear from God for the first time. Amen. Fight to be spiritual and not to be carnal. It's a fight to be a spiritual man. If you don't fight, you just eat and eat and eat. Eat, eat, eat. Play, play, play. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Amen. Number four. Fight for the fruits of the Spirit. Fight to walk in love with all your brothers and sisters. Try not to break important relationships. Somebody was asking me, is this pastor your friend? I said, it's my friend. Now, why would the person do that? I said, I don't know. So is he your friend? I said, he will always be my friend. Always be my friend. Will always be my friend. You have to fight to keep your relationships. Fight to walk in love. Fight to forgive. It's like even marriage. If you don't fight to stay harmonious, naturally, relationships don't last so long. After some time, you see they look like the best couple. Hey! One day, I was in church when an elegant couple came in. They were wearing brown that day. Brown, like brown top and brown, whatever it was. Brown, brown, brown. The color was brown. I remember the brown. And you can't help noticing them because they were so elegant and outstanding. And the husband was wearing brown and the wife was wearing brown. So matching. Hey! After church, the pastor told me, this people, they have not spoken for months, weeks. They don't speak. So I asked the pastor, they don't speak. He said, yeah, they don't talk. So I said, how do they know what color to wear? He said, I don't know. He said, I think, he said, we gave a theory. He said, perhaps when one sees one ironing this brown one, then you know that you have to get your brown one also ready. Tell somebody, I'm fighting to keep my relationship. Wow. Number five, fight to enter the ministry. It's a big fight to be in the ministry and to preach. Amen. One was coming to Jesus in Luke 9:59, and he said, follow me. And the guy said, please let me go and bury my father. Hey. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. If you joke, you will never be in the ministry. Yeah. If you joke, you will never enter the ministry. Yeah. Amen. If you joke, you will never enter the ministry. You'll be standing there looking and saying, I believe God has called me. I really, really feel the love of God. I sense the power of the Holy Ghost. Bishop, when you were preaching, I know, it's me. Look, you may have goosebumps all day, but if you don't fight to enter, you will be an old man and say, I should have been in the ministry. How many people have I met who told me I should have been a pastor? Yes. But I didn't. I know a certain man, he became a prosperous businessman. And he was supposed to be in the ministry. So he had many children, about 12. Then one day he chose one of his sons and said, you are going to be the priest, because I was supposed to be the priest and I didn't do it. So he said, I'm going to give you a portion of my inheritance for your priesthood. Because you will be a priest. Because I didn't do it. Yes. But unfortunately, the son also did not want to do that. Amy Semple McPherson, her mother was supposed to be in the ministry. What happened was, she had a great call of God. And she was sent to be the maid of an important man and his wife. And as she was looking after and helping and working there, with a strong call of God on her life, the wife of the person she was living with and looking after died. And the man whose wife was dead could not look very far to find a replacement. So he decided to marry his maid. And when he married his maid, he gave birth to one daughter. And that's Amy Semple McPherson. You know Amy Semple McPherson, the founder of the Four Square Gospel Church. Yeah. So when her daughter grew up, she was, you know, I was supposed to be in the ministry and I didn't do it because I got married. So you must too. So she was very much involved in her daughter's life and ministry, and they had a lot of conflict because of that. In fact, at a point, she had to send her mother away because her mother was virtually guiding her in the ministry. Hey. It's not a small thing to be in the ministry. If you don't fight, you will be old and be telling your children,
you know, I was supposed to be in the ministry.
How many want to say that when you are old and see, you walk in and say,
you know, God called me when I was 16.
No, fight to enter. Don't give up your calling. Don't give up. You know, I had to fight to be in the ministry. I didn't know how to live. I didn't have a church. I didn't have anything. And worst of all, I didn't have any idea, like, you take an offering, maybe you get a salary. No, there was nothing. Just children. My church was made up of children, secondary school children. Is it what you call matric? Yeah, those type of children. These were my members. Huh? And I felt, Lord, I must be in the ministry. And here was I, qualified as a doctor, 10th of March, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 1989. I became a doctor. I saw my name on the list, qualified. How to become a minister? I want to do this thing. I want to do this. I have to do my house job after the housemanship. I have to be in the ministry. I have to serve the Lord. But how? No money. So I spoke to my sister. You know, my wife was then pregnant. We just got married. And she was pregnant. Hey, no money. So I sent her, go and get a job. Yeah. I was fighting to enter this thing. I'm telling you, if you sit back, you will not have anything. So she went, she traveled, and was working in Europe with the stomach. She was in Switzerland working. The stomach was big. I told her, when the stomach is ripe, I will come. When I went there, when she was there, when I got there, I said, how much did you earn? bring it. Yeah, that's why you don't have to leave your wife later in life when you forget what she did when you were nothing. Yeah. I said, bring the money. And if she had not been a humble and obedient wife, she would have lost everything because she gave me everything she had. I looked at it, counted, I put it in my pocket. And she went with her bag. The next day, her bag was stolen. All the money was in the bag, but she gave it to me. So the guy got nothing. Yeah. So you see, obedience and humility is very important. Very important. Everything would have been gone. Everything. Yeah. So those of you who are stubborn and only married to start fighting. It's not a good fight. Hallelujah. So I struggled, but I was fighting to be in the ministry. I wanted to be in the ministry. Yeah. And I started church. started a church preaching. Now my wife's money was getting finished. So I went to see my sister. And I said, I need money. I'm preaching. Yes, I have nothing. And my sister said, if you are going to preach, then I will help you. She was working in the UN. Every month she gave me money. Yes. These are the people that supported me. I stood on their heads and entered in the meeting. What a blessing. So if you sit down and think that things will be handed over to you on a silver platter, you don't understand ministry. Yes. Yes. I had nowhere to stay. And my father had a hotel. And I said, can I stay in one of the rooms? He said, you can stay. I don't have anywhere you can stay. I stayed in one room with my wife for 3 years. Yes. I was fighting to enter the ministry. Yeah. That's how I entered. Not easily. Not easily. Then one day my wife's father called me and said, ha, you are destroying my daughter's life. You don't want to work. Because I'm a doctor, I'm a qualified doctor. I don't want to go to work. I want to be a pastor. So he said, he hears that I was posted to the mortuary, you know, pathology department. So he said, I think that the reason why you are not going to work is because of where you have been posted. So he said, he is going to see the head of the hospital to move me from there so that I go to work among the living instead of among the dead. And I said, Daddy, no, this is not the reason. Then after he calmed down, my mother-in-law rose up. You must go to work. You must go to work. I didn't just enter the ministry. I don't just come and say, oh, God called me, then here was the church, and we went. No! Fighting. My mother-in-law talking. My mother-in-law is a teacher. So we call her police teacher. So she would talk. More talking. You have to do this. It's very important. You have to know the word. One day, it was too much. I said, please, teacher. I don't want to discuss this topic again. Please. Leave me. I need to. Yes. I was fighting to enter. Many years later, I was having a camp in America, in Philadelphia, Maryland? Yeah. An American church was there. My father-in-law and my mother-in-law were there. Yeah, they were sitting at the back. As I was preaching, it was winter time. American church. They were sitting. They sat through. Late, like a camp like this, late to the night, midnight, they were sitting there. Elderly people. One day, my father-in-law came and looked at me and said, you look like Jesus Christ. Tell somebody I'm ready to fight a good fight. Amen. I want to say, young people, if you think that ministry is just going to be given to you, yeah, you are now a preacher. You are not. No, there's nothing like that. You will fight every inch of the way to enter. Then to stay in it, you will fight all the way to stay. But it's worth the fight. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting to work for God. The fifth fight, sixth fight, fight to stay in your calling. Yeah. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me. You, Demas, you are a pastor. You have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Look at one of Paul's pastors. Forsaken Apostle Paul, having loved this present world and has left for Thessalonica. Hey. So if you don't take care, you will become a Cape Town Demas. You start ministry and stop ministry. I said you start ministry and stop ministry. And you become a modern Demas. Yes. Instead of going all the way, so that you say like Paul, I fought a good fight. I've run my race. I've finished my course. You'll be saying that you've forsaken the church. You've forsaken the apostle. No. Fight to stay. Oh, there are many things that have tried to take me out of the ministry. Yes. Finances. It can take you out. One day my wife told me, she said, our son is now 5 years old. Or is it 4 years? What age do they go to school? 4 or 5. She told me, it's 4 years or 5 years old. We need to get a school. I said, school? Why do we need a school? How old is this child? When do they start going to school? And I started arguing with her. We don't need school now. Hey. And she said, no, he needs a school. So I said, find any school around. Just look around and get a school. And she found a school that was now beginning. And they put a banner, new school starting. And I sent my son as the first student in the school. Because it was the cheapest school available. Hey! See, I had not calculated school fees in my budget. I just wanted to work for the Lord. Today, my son, this one, recently the school was doing an anniversary. Yeah, 20 years or whatever. So they put a big banner they were doing. They were looking for the first founder. But that little one is now a doctor by the grace of God. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. There's a song like that. God will take care of you. Sing it.
Be not dismayed, whatever be tight. God will take care of you.
Come on.
Under the wings of love abide. God will take care of you.
Come on.
God will take care of you through every day.
All of the way. Come on.
He will take care of you.
God will take care of you.
Will take care.
dismayed.
Be not dismayed.
Whatever time, God will take care of you. Under the wings of love abide. God will take care of you.
Why don't you lift your hands? Sing it with me.
God will take care of you through every day.
All of the way.
All of the way.
He will.
He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Wow. God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the good fight? Is it a worthwhile fight? Is it worth fighting to be in the ministry? Is it worth fighting to stay in the ministry? Number 7, fight to associate with great men of God. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. He said, Elijah said unto Elisha, stay here. Stay here. Don't come. Don't come here. I pray thee. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, I will not leave. There are some instructions you should know that not obeying them is rather a good thing. I will not leave. And he told him 4 times, go. Go away, go away, go. Shoo! Listen, I'll tell you something. You know, I don't know if you studied it in English. There is a clear saying, birds of the same feather flock together. Fight to be associated with great men. Whatever happens, you find out that the people you are associated with, you be like them. Somehow, over the years, you be like that. Yeah. You know, all through my life, I've fought to be associated with great men that I admire. And you see, the onus is on the follower, not on the mentor. You have to humble yourself and be available. Yeah. Adjust. You have to adjust. It's not going to come to you just like that. I mean, Yonggi Cho is perhaps the, what do you call it? One of the most difficult people I've ever had to relate with. But one of the most worthwhile people. When I heard he was in a town called Yverdon in Switzerland, I told my wife, I'm going to Switzerland. So I went there in 1990, I don't remember which year, but it must be early 90s. When I saw, I said, "'Tis a great Yonggi Cho." I said, wow. And I knew one Swiss man. And I said, who was hosting him? I said, would it be possible for me to meet with Dr. Cho? He said, I'll work on it. I'll work on it. So, the next day, I'm sure they don't remember. He came on stage and I was sitting there. And he showed him the person who wants to see you. And Yonggi Cho looked at him. I felt despised. Yes, I felt despised. I don't think he despised me. I don't even know me. I don't think he even saw me or even knew. He just you don't have to be put off. You fight to be associated. It's a fight. So, I couldn't see Dr. Cho. I couldn't see nothing. So, I saw there was a man who was his director of something. I said, well, if I can't see Dr. Cho, I'll see Dr. Cha. There was a man called Cha. No, it's his name, Dr. Cha. Who was the mayor of Seoul, Korea. And a millionaire, some of those. But he was always helping him. So I went to talk to him. I said, my name is Dag from Ghana, Africa. Okay, nice. Want Dr. Cho, come, right. I went away, nothing. And I said, I'm going to Korea. You want to push me off from the anointing? You are joking. I'm a hard follower. Psalm 63. My soul followeth hard after thee. I went to Korea. And amazingly, on the very first time I went there, I was somehow, I don't know how, I got to be invited to a dinner where Dr. Cho was. Yeah. And I went and I sat by him, right by him. And that day they were eating Korean food. And if you know Korean food, you can't tell what exactly it is. And Dr. Cho had told us in the morning that if Adam and Eve had been Koreans, we would never have had the problem we had because they would have eaten the snake. When he came for temptation, they would have just eaten him up. So that night, I was not sure what it was that was being served. And I was sitting right by Yonggi Cho. First time. Because I was not discouraged by that. I was discouraged, but I did not allow it to control me by the first experience in Switzerland. I said, I'm going again. Yeah. Hard. And he asked me, do you have children? I said, yes. How many? I said, 3.5. 2.5. Because there was one in my wife's stomach. She was sitting by me. I was the youngest person there. And I kept going. And one day I was invited to be on the board. Yeah. But after about 20 years, one day, I'd been to play golf. Because Yonggi Cho played golf, I said, I'm going to learn how to play golf. It's the only reason I learned how to play golf. I said, maybe I'll be playing golf one day and I can. So I learned how to play golf. And when we go to Korea, they say, if you can stay after the conference, there's golf. I said, well, I can stay. Fight to be closely associated. Some of you don't care about the anointing. You want to take pictures with politicians and Herod and Pontius Pilate are the people you are taking pictures with. But one day, I was with playing. They asked me, will you play? I said, I will play. I said, but I will play on condition I'm playing with Dr. Cho, personally. They said, oh, yeah. You will be in his team. Only 4 people in the team. There were 3 even that day. So me, Dr. Cho, and somebody. The 3 of us for 18 holes, 5 hours. Yes. I stayed with him and we played the whole 18 holes. When we finished, we said, now they're surprised that he's played 18 holes because not so strong. And we sat down to eat after. We had breakfast and then a big whatever after. And I was sitting there. Here's Dr. Cho and here's Dr. Cha. Do you know what Dr. Cha said to me? He looked at me and said, you have done very well. You have fought to be here. You have fought. From 20 years ago when he saw me. Yeah. He remembered. He said, I remember you. Wow. You see, some of you are not hard followers. I tell you, the people you are associated with, if they have big churches, you have big churches. If they are married, you will be married. If they stay married, you stay married. If they are prosperous, you'll be prosperous. That's how it is. Ministry, I don't know how it happens. If you just associate with certain people, you end up being like them. I don't know how. So fight to be associated with good people who God brings to your life and stay close. But it's not going to be easy. Yeah, I tell you, even that day I was going around with Dr. Cho, I was praying all that. Lord, tell me what can I say? What can I? I didn't know what to say because Koreans are quiet. Ish. I kept on thinking, by the time we got to hole 11, I said, yay, God, we are getting to hole 18. I have not yet said anything sensible the whole day. Are you still listening to what I'm saying? Some of you are fighting to be close to the wrong people. When you see a boy, say, ah, that's the boy. So handsome. Ah. And you start jostling and pushing your face, pressing your breasts into the person. Fight to be close to be men of God. Yes. Oh, many men. I'm close to many important men of God. Recently, I was fighting to be close to Bonky. Yeah. Yeah. I positioned myself. I knew he was coming to preach that night. I calculated. I told my wife, let's go early. And when I look at the person, I said, this is where he may come. I went to sit there. Lo and behold, I was sitting there. The door opened and here walks in Bonky. I said in my heart, I've got you now. I had more than 1 hour, just me and him. Yeah, can you imagine 1 hour with such a great person? Why don't you fight to be close to men of God? Yes. You'll be something like them. Amen? Amen. And when you look at the crusades, you can see it looks like Bonky crusades. Yeah. When I was in Lesotho, I met Bonky's converts. So you preach like Bonky. And I was smiling to myself. I was so happy. I like hearing such things. You should be happy that somebody tells you you look like, you behave like somebody you are admiring and following. When you are following somebody and they can't see any signs at all. Number 8, fight to catch the anointing. Number 9, fight to get a good partner for your life. Fight to get the anointing. 2 Kings 2:9-10. Thou hast asked a hard thing. When he asked for the anointing, he says, you have asked for a hard. You have to fight for it. He says, if you see me, you'll get. So fight to be there when anointing is dropping. Number 9, fight to find a good partner. Amen. Not easy to have a good partner. Don't just look at thighs and hips. All right? Fight. Yes. I prayed for a long time. You know, when I saw my wife, I said, this is a beautiful sister and she's a good Christian sister. So, but I was afraid. I wanted to be sure that nothing bad will happen to me. So, so I told her, I said, listen, I like you and you know that I like you. But I just want to tell you one thing. I am praying. And I'm going to pray for a long time. Yes. And I prayed for 1 year. And I told her, never say that I proposed to you. And I broke her heart. You are just my friend. Is it clear? So after 1 year of prayers, then I came to her on the 26th of August, 1985, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. just as I was about to speak the word, one of my bishops came And he was not a bishop. We are just brothers. But he just came. And he could not discern the moment that he had entered into. And he sat there chatting happily. I could have poured water on him. After about 1 hour, I just kept quiet and looked at him like this. I said, then I think he decided to just leave. Tell somebody, I'm fighting to get a good partner. Number 10, fight to prosper. Everybody say, I'm fighting to prosper. It's a good fight. Number 11, fight to build a house. Fight to have a house without owing money. When you are in a house that you have to pay every month, it's not a house, it's a mortgage. It's called mortgage. A mortgage is even from a house. Amen. Number 12, fight to live long and to serve the Lord. Wow. Huh? Fight to live. Whatever you have, medicine you have to take, whatever vitamins, whatever, do it. Yonggi Cho one day was preaching and he said he was running somewhere and he had a heart problem. His heart started to fail or something. So he went and saw a Japanese doctor. And his Japanese doctor asked him, do you play golf? And he said, no, I have no time. And he said, his Japanese, or not a Christian, told him, what is your mission? He said, if you play golf, you can add 10 years to your life. Yes, I was listening to a message and I heard him say, he said, you can add 10 years to your life. And this unbeliever, who was not a Christian, told him, what is your mission? Think of how much more you can accomplish with 10 extra years. Yeah? See, it's easy to criticize. You don't know what. Like,
oh, look at those rich people playing golf.
Lazy old man. But you'll be surprised. Amen. Number 13, fight against the negative aspects of your temperament. Mark 8:34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. All right? You must fight yourself. Deny yourself. And it's a fight. What are the aspects of your temperament? Phlegmatic. Le phlegmatic, slow and lazy, love to sleep. Sleep is like a drug for you. As for you, it's not smoking or drinking, it's sleeping. Hey. Hey, some of you, when you are sleeping in the morning, it's like you are dead. So phlegmatic, you need to fight it. If you are phlegmatic, it means there may not be much drive. Such people should not start churches because they don't have the drive to let the church work. But when the church is already there, phlegmatic is very good for the church. He's very patient. Any nonsense, he will still be the pastor of the church. Very good phlegmatic as pastors. They are very stable. They can be good teachers. Pastors, non-reactive. They are non-reactionary. Yes. Phlegmatics are very important. Yes. They're nice people too. They are the nicest people. Never ruffle any feathers. They just flow. My wife is phlegmatic. Yes. They don't fight anything. They are just there, flowing. Yes. But you have to fight it because phlegmatics also have negative things. So a phlegmatic must have some cholerism. Now these words, choleric, phlegmatic, sanguine, and melancholic, is after the liquids in your body. Okay? It's named after the liquids in your body. So phlegm. You see, like when you spit phlegm and it drops in the sink, it doesn't move. And this phlegmatic is very stubborn, slow, will not move. Yes. And then choleric is the bile from the cholecystic, bile. It's like bitter. So a choleric can be hard, bitter. Yes. You can speak. And some people say, I'm choleric. I don't know. You can choose what I am. Different people, depend on who I relate with, tell me I'm different. Some say I'm phlegmatic. Some say I'm choleric. You see, they don't want to accept me as phlegmatic. Then sanguine. They are happy people. You must always have a sanguine in your life. They are always happy. Parties. My wife is also sanguine. Happy party. Free. Laughing. Teasing. I need a sanguine always around because I'm very serious. So I need somebody to lighten the environment. But sanguines also have weaknesses. They are disorganized. Is there a sanguine there? So you need to fight all these aspects of yourself. If you read my book on model marriage, all the different, what it means to be married to a choleric, what it means to be married to a phlegmatic, what it means to be married to a different group. But it's a fight. In fact, I would say that before the devil comes into the picture in your life and ministry, it's how you are. Let him deny himself. And then melancholics, very, very orderly and detailed, arranging things all the time. Yes. And moody. And serious. But they are very loyal. They are the ones who become missionaries. They play the piano, gifted piano instruments. And think a lot. A lot of women are melancholic. My wife is also melancholic a bit. Huh? Yes. She has the good parts of all of them. It's true. It's true. If it were not so, I would have told you. So melancholic, phlegmatic, sanguine. Sanguine is one of the liquids in the body. I think the sang. Blood, so it's like more watery, like flowing. They are flowing. Flow. Sanguine. Sanguine. Bright, and they are bright. Color red. They like bright colors. Bishop Saki is a sanguine. He likes red, blue, bright colors. His watch is red. Look at his watch. Red watch. Sanguines also have more weaknesses with their flesh. A sanguine is more likely to fall into fornication than a melancholic. It's true. They're happy, they're flowing. So all through your life, now Bishop Saki doesn't have that problem. He has only the good parts. You need to fight all the negative parts. It's not a nice thing to live with the negative part of a melancholic person. Hey, when the moodiness of a melancholic comes to the house, it's like a spray in the house. The house is quiet. Ish. When the phlegmatic stubbornness comes, one day I was working with a brother who was very phlegmatic, and I realized that if I don't transfer him out of my sight, I don't know what will be the next word I will tell him. Sanguines. Yeah. One day I visited the house of a sanguine woman. Hey! I said, this is the poorest house I've ever been. But it was not poor, because they were not poor people. This organization. Hey! Hiroshima. So, if you don't fight, if you ask me what is the worst, most difficult thing with my missionaries and my pastors, is their temperament. The phlegmatic kills more churches than anything else. Phlegmatic pastors. They will be sitting there with 20 members for 14 years. It doesn't occur to them that there's a... Because a phlegmatic has three principles working in him. One of the principles is, there is nothing I can't handle. Number two, there is nothing I cannot tolerate. So even though the church is small, it's okay. And number three, they say, why should I run when I can walk? Like, why should I run when I can walk? I'm walking. What is the hurry? Why are you in a rush? I'll get there. And when you have that mentality, your church doesn't work. You look and say, the church is getting finished. People are not coming. The phlegmatic will say, don't worry. We can make it. It's okay. All right. That's a phlegmatic. Many pastors are phlegmatic and they preside over the collapse of the church. So, before we even come to fighting the devil, I would say fighting your temperament. Yes. Cholerics can be wicked. So if you are choleric, you must develop kindness. Cholerics can be sharp. If you are married to a choleric woman, she will put you in your place. Even, yes, she will sort you out. Choleric woman will be having sex with her husband. She said, come on, hurry up. And finish. Hurry up and then finish what you are doing. All right, number 14. Fight. This is all in this book. Fight your against your maleness or femaleness. Yeah. What is a man? Men like if they follow their nature, will not stay with one woman. Yes. Brothers, is it true or it's not true? I want all brothers who say that it's true in your case. If you are sitting by a wife, don't participate in this. Don't participate in this poll. All right. So, if you are a male, you have to fight your maleness. If you don't, not the devil, just male. Because in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female. So if you want to do well in Christ, the male and female thing doesn't come in. You have to flow as an asexual, like an amoeba. Then female, you have to fight your femaleness. What are the female things? What do females have? What do girls have? Fear, a lot of fears, jealousy, wickedness. Accusations. Bad thoughts. Insecurities. You have to fight it, otherwise it will destroy you. Just like how lust will destroy the brothers, fears will destroy the sisters. The same thing if a man follows his lust. Look at the beautiful, beautiful. If you follow it, you destroy your life. If a woman follows her fears, you follow your insecurities and your fears, you destroy your life. Yeah. You see, our flesh are different. If I touch your flesh as a brother, it's harder. Even your meat, if I take a slice of your meat and I put it in a microscope and I test it, I can know whether you are a man or a woman. Your flesh is even different. The amount of fat, etc. Then I check your blood. I will see chemicals which are not in the man, but are in the woman. So your chemicals and your composition is different. You behave different, you think differently. So you have to control that male whatever. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the male unction. Wow. Are you ready to fight your maleness? Yeah. And fight your femaleness?
Yeah.
And some girls really also, your femaleness is also like, you like boys. You know, girls like boys. Girls like boys more than boys like girls. I'll say it again. Girls like boys more than boys like girls. Or I want to correct it. Girls like boys far more than boys like girls. But the problem is that they hide it. Yes. You know, when I was in school and I saw my wife, I thought that I was the one who liked her. I like her far more than she liked me. But as I grew up and I was assessing things, I realized that she liked me far more than I liked her. Are you still around or you are leaving? We are fighting a good fight. The next one, fight national and tribal stereotypes. Yeah. There are stereotypes. National stereotypes. Titus 1 verse 12. Titus 1 verse 12. He says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies or phlegmatics. This witness is true. So rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Somebody gave this report about Cretans. That is how Cretans are. So you must fight national and tribal stereotypes. Okay? Yeah. Now, what are national stereotypes? Or, I want to do national stereotypes. Fight it. There are some characteristics that are known of Nigerians. That's an easy one. Many people know Nigerians. Is it Nigerian? Hish! Nigerians are this. True or not true? So if you are a Nigerian, you must fight that picture and do everything to be dissociated, distance yourself from that picture. True. If you are a Nigerian, there is a negative picture of Nigeria in many places. You have to fight that picture and do whatever you can do to remove that picture. I'm sure there's some picture also of Ghanaians. I don't know. You must also fight that thing. Yeah. Even Africans. Yes. Once I was in Korea, and an American pastor said to me, he said, I know of only two Africans who behave the way you do. Yeah. He said, the way you carry yourself, you command a lot of respect. He said, you, and he mentioned another person. But you know what they and they will tell you. The American will tell you, next time you're in California, you know, next time you're in California, you can pass by our church. And I say, I don't pass by California. I don't pass through California. If you invite me, I will come, but I don't pass. It's not on my road. It's not on my way. And then they want to ask, is there anything you need in your ministry? So there's nothing we need. What do you need? We don't need anything. We are not asking for anything. They have a picture of the African always asking for something, asking for money. So you have to break that picture. Never ask for anything. Never ask, I need money, I need assistance, I need help. You don't need anything. You have to break those pictures. That stereotype. Yes. Do you understand? So if you are related, if you are black man, you're related with white, don't ask for anything. Don't ask for favors. Don't ask for money. Don't ask for gifts. Yes. If you are a prophet, no, that's even not a stereotype. But if you are from South Africa, there's also a picture of xenophobia. You saw it on the thing. It's like we don't like foreigners. You know? But you see, you have to break that picture. Yeah, because you don't know, like our Pastor Alafoye was explaining. Look, your people were grown, were looked after by African nations. Thabo Mbeki was in Ghana, where I went to church in the airport area. That's where he was staying. Yes, that is where he was, and he was in school. Thabo Mbeki. For years, eating kenke, eating rice, eating our food, not lapap, not pap or whatever, was eating Ghana food. President Mugabe was in Ghana. We were looking after him. That's why he married a Ghanaian woman. His first wife, Sally, is my wife's relative. Yeah. So you cannot come and say, get out, go to your country or whatever. And you don't also know Africa. You haven't been many places. You see that the world is not little South Africa. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. One of all my church members, and what I'm training South Africa always is to make them travel. My biggest training is for them to travel. Go outside, go to other countries, go find out more, relate with others. Know more things. I want always more internet because we didn't used to travel. And I have a lot of South African, plenty around me. They work with me. They work for me and with me. Yeah. But I always want them to travel. Go here. Go to Guinea. Go to Liberia. We have crusade directors. They are all South Africans. Yes. I have different countries. I can't tell you all the people that are with me. Plenty different kinds of people. Because it says, in the last day shall come to pass, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Many nations shall come and say, let's go to the house of the Lord. Not only South Africa. Many nations. Yes. Gentiles shall come to the brightness. The king shall come to the brightness of thy rising. So people are going to come to us. And you can't start. I was talking to one pastor and he started shouting, you can't come from West Africa and come and tell us what to do. Look, I said, look at it. I didn't even know. At that time, I was new in South Africa. I didn't know what it was. But we heard that song almost in all the 28 places we went. You can't come from whatever and tell us what to do. You can't come. You can't come and tell us. It was like a song. But you are free from every stereotype picture in Jesus' name. Look, in the last days, we are not going to be going by nations. Oh, yeah. We are going to be, you will not know where anybody is from. You keep watching. And then you must free yourself from color stereotypes. Fight to be free from. When they say a colored person, there are some evils associated with colored. What are some of the evils? Huh? Like what? Huh? Gangsterism. One of my young boys who is with me all the time in Ghana, he's colored. When he came for holiday, the gangs wanted to take him. He called for SOS to come back quickly. Yeah. Come back. Gangsterism. And what else? Drugs. Drugs. And what else? Alcohol. Yeah. Anger. Temper. Violence. Now, that picture will never be associated with you from today in Jesus' name. Break that picture. Blacks associated with what? Witchcraft. In South Africa. You have witchcraft here. Hey. Tradition. I didn't know that. Yes, what else? Huh? Sex. Huh? Rebellion. And whites associated with what? Apartheid. Racism. Huh? Superiority. So if you are white, just mix and have friends. Yeah. Mix with everybody. Break it. If I was a white pastor here, try to have black people. Break it. Break it. If you are black, break the picture. Fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Are you still around? Amen. Now, we have to be closing. All right, all right. All right. Hey. And then, quickly, number 17, 16, fight against color stereotypes. So I've done that already. Number 17, fight against lust. Mm. Lust. How many have desires? Oof. 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 Try to fight your lusts. Fight it. Eish. Amen? And the last one, fight for fruitfulness. Amen. Fight for fruitfulness. Now, very important. Isaiah 9 verse 5. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. This is the war atmosphere. Risk, danger, confusion, bewilderment, disorientation, stress, tension, unhappiness, fear, death, sorrow, pain, disappointment, shock. Very scary. Now, why am I saying this? Once you join this ministry war, don't expect everything to be perfect. Everything is good and as it should be. Then you come from peace. You know, when people started to work with me years ago, one of the things that shocked them was they thought that, you know, before I come to minister, I am in a wonderful bubble of peace, tranquility, joy, calmness, presence. Then when they started to work with me, they realized that I come from confusion, bewilderment, stress, fighting, questions, issues. When I came here, there were so many things. They said people are coming to demonstrate. And we're going to have the conference. We are not going to do the this and that. Hey, what have I done? I preach about why a soul is important. And this is all. So many things. But in that atmosphere, you still have to work. You still have to preach. You still have to do. Yes. And the issues that somebody will bringing up, you find that I believe certain things are sins. It's in the Bible. I can't say this is not a sin. This is not a sin. That's what the Bible says. But that's not even my topic. I don't even talk about such things. I even blame Americans are always talking about these things which are not going to change anything. Should leave people to do what they want to do. And just preach the word. And you don't have to focus on these kind of things. It's not going to change anything. I'm the last person to talk. And suddenly, they say, I'm preaching about something. And I have no apologies for saying something is right or wrong according to the word of God. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. But that the amazing thing is, that is not what we are talking about. That's the amazing part. But what you must realize is that you don't work for God in an atmosphere of everything is okay. It is never everything okay. Get used to the atmosphere. That is it. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood, with burning and fuel of fire. That's the environment in which you have to take decisions. That's the environment of ministry. I am not living in a bubble of peace. No, not at all. Not at all. Issues, this, that. Most of the time I'm juggling between things. Even as I'm doing other things apart from this conference. Apart from what I'm doing other things that are related to churches and whatever. I don't even have time to read what people are saying. I don't even know I don't care what they say. If I cared what people say, I'll not do this work. So, friends, don't imagine. Some of you want a peaceful life. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to preach your word. Sweet Jesus, fill me with wonderful peace and love. No. Many pastors come to preach out of quarreling at home. It's called PPQ, pre-preaching quarrels. PPQ. Yes. PPQs. You before preaching quarrel. Many. And as soon as church is over, the quarrel, you don't remember what was the topic. Because it's demonic. And the first person I heard talk about this was Derek Prince. Yes. He said he noticed conflict was coming to his house just before a program, preaching, whatever. Pastors, if you are honest, pastors don't like saying these things. No, pastors only like to take pictures and look smart and say, wow. We are the perfect couple. Hey, pastors like show. PPQ. Do you have such things in South Africa? Early in the morning, in the car, they'll be arguing. One day, a pastor and his wife got divorced. The wife went, husband went. And the driver, he doesn't talk. He just made a comment. He said, let her go. He said what? Let her go. And I was, why do you say that? He said, she fights in the car. When we are going to church, she's fighting him. Fighting like a lion. And he has been driving them for years, listening to them. He's driving. Let her go. PPQs. War is the environment. Shooting this, you take decision. You'll be planning with maps as the bullets are flying up. Shoo, 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 shoo. Then you have to be planning, thinking, doing, taking decisions. That's the environment of ministry. If you don't know that, then you don't know what is war. Yes. You know, one day I heard one, I don't know if he's from Ghana, he went to fight in America. He went to fight in Afghanistan for American army. When he came back, you know, he was just in his house and he committed suicide. A lot of them are unstable after the war. Mentally. Like, he didn't die in the war, but when he came back, he killed himself. They are affected by the war environment. Yes. It's like a kitchen. You know, one day I went to the kitchen and I saw my wife was making the meat. I said, what is this? Blood and meat. Is that what it's like? I have not seen it before. I only see the beautiful finished product. I just enjoy. Because I don't know how to cook. I just enjoy the finished product. Not knowing that that's how the kitchen is hot, sweaty. Fire, blood, meat, this, cutting, this. Hey! So this nice thing we are getting, it comes out of a heated environment. War. That's why you get those nicely cut potatoes and arranged salad and what have you. Yes. Many pastors are in war. And you see, you are thinking to yourself,
I'm the only minister who has such problems.
You are not the only minister. You are one of everybody who is having the same problems. Hey. We are at war. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, John Wesley, he was fighting with his wife all the time. Hey. One day his wife left. He said, are you going to call? He said, I didn't send her and I will not also call her to come back. Yes. He told his wife, if you live 1,000 years, you cannot undo the evil that you have done to me. Yes. One day his wife was leaving. She went with her son, not his child, because he didn't have children. She already had children. She was a widow. She was a widow. He married her. She had, I think, 4 children already. He was going with his son, her son, to live in Newcastle. But when he was going, he said to her, I hope I never see your wicked face again. Wow. You see, you may be thinking that, oh, he was having some. Oh, my darling. Oh, sweetheart. Oh, darling. Oh, come on. No. He said, I hope I never see your wicked face again. And one day he met her. He met her in town. He met her accidentally after 3 years. They were not even planning to meet. He just met her. He said, hey, what are you doing? So he said, you want to come? She wants to come. I said, you want to come back? I said, okay, come. But hey, before you come, have you changed your mind? Have you changed your mind? About what? You say, I'm having an affair with Charles Wesley, the one who composed How Great, How Sweet the Name of Jesus, and all those hymns. You say, I'm having an affair with my brother's wife. You say, I'm having an affair with Sarah Ryan. You say, I'm having an affair with Sarah Crosby. All these ladies. Have you changed your mind? He said, if you have not changed your mind, I don't want you to come back. And he continued his preaching. So he built the Methodist church, not in an atmosphere of peace. In this one atmosphere, confused, noise, garments, row, never sure of himself. What is he doing? If you read his life, if you read my book, Those Who Accuse You, see, long letter he wrote to his wife. He said, hey, number one, number two, a letter with points. As if he's writing an exam. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight. This is the environment through which he bore the great fruit of the Methodist Church. Not an outer environment of, oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in our believers. You don't know war. I welcome you to war. I welcome you to
war. Yes. This is real war. Different kinds of battles, unseen and seen. One day my son went to a certain country in Europe. And when he got there, an older man, older pastor, he's been a pastor for many years. He welcomed him and said, yeah, my wife is not here today. You know, my wife is like John Wesley's wife. This is what he told my son. Said, my wife. He said, my wife is like John Wesley's wife. You know, she's not here now. So I hope you understand. He said, you see, your father was preaching about it in his book. John Wesley. That's how my wife is. He told, that's how my wife is.
My God.
Yes. So she's not here. No, no, no. Watch out for the presence of your wife or the absence of your wife. They all have meanings. Yes. Look, don't be worried about your life, that your life is not in looking perfect. Life, if ministry is with war, this is chapter 3 of my book, the battle is with noise and confusion, with bullet. Pew, pew. You see that? You are almost dying. Every day you almost die. That is why there is a medal. Listen to this one. That's why there is a medal called a medal for bravery under fire. Not just bravery. Bravery under fire. Yes. There are many people, when they hear the first bullet, they just wee-wee on themselves straight away. They just wee-wee on themselves. Yes. Yes. You will think people are coming out of great tranquility, great peace. Only people don't like talking about things, you know. Everybody wants a perfect picture. It's like this wonderful. They come and they only say nice things. Hey. Are you still here or you are leaving? Yeah. Yeah. This is this book here. A good general. A good general. Chapter 3. What a blessing. Chapter 4. Get used to the war atmosphere. Yes. And finally, the business of war is to take new territories. The business of war is to what? Take new territories. That's the business of war. We are here to take new territories. We are here to take new territories. Deuteronomy 2. Sing it for me, Ida. Deuteronomy 2. Sing Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24 for me. Sing Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. He says, rise ye up, take your journey. Look at it. Pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. I've given you his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Nothing is going to be given to you free and easy. Begin to possess it and contend. In other words, begin to fight with him for the land. Rise. Yeah, take your journey. Pass over. In other words, overcome obstacles. Rivers are the worst thing you want in a war. Why? How do you drive over the river with your cars and your tanks? It's one of the bad things to meet in the war, the rivers. They always need bridge. That's why there's always a bridge building regiment in the army. How to build a bridge to march over with all the tanks and cars and fuel and food and everything. Pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Begin to possess Mitchell's Plain. It's not for the devil. It's for Jesus Christ. Cape Town is for God. South Africa is for God.
Behold, I've given you Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Pastors, start fighting. Okay? Start fighting. It's not about peace. Oh. If you want peace, then die. If you want peace, what do they say when you die? Rest in peace.
Rise up today and take your journey.
That's it, Deuteronomy 2.
You must pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I've given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon. I have given you his land. Contend with him in battle and take new territory.
Take new territory. Oh,
new territory. Oh, take new territory. Whoa, oh, oh.
Come on, sing it again.
New
rise
territory.
Up.
Whoa, oh. Rise up today and take your journey.
Take your journey.
You must pass over
a good general.
The river Arnon. Behold,
what have you given me?
Into thy hand, Sihon the Amorite.
Hey, he's given to you.
The king of Heshbon
is yours.
I have given you his land.
I have given you his land.
Contend with him in battle and take new territory. Oh, oh, oh. New territory. Oh, oh, oh. Take new territory. Oh, oh, oh. New territory. Oh, oh, oh. A great door is open unto you, but there are many,
many what?
Adversaries.
Wow.
Oh, 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 oh. So be strong in the Lord and courageous. Maintain your aim.
Maintain your aim.
Sustain the mission.
Sustain the mission.
In times of peace.
In times of peace, think of a war.
Be ready for war. Fight extremes with extremes.
Fight extremes with extremes.
Surprise your enemy.
Surprise your enemy.
Outthink your enemy.
Mm.
Extinguish your enemy.
Extinguish your enemy.
Strike like lightning.
Strike like lightning.
Overcome superior enemies.
Overcome superior
and be
enemies.
Strong.
Be strong.
Oh, oh,
be strong.
And courageous. Oh, oh, oh. Say be strong. Mm-mm. And courageous. Oh, oh. A great door is open unto you. But there are many adversaries. This is what you gotta do. Be strong in the Lord and courageous. Defend yourself.
Defend yourself.
Humble your enemy.
Humble your enemy.
Subdue your enemy.
Subdue your enemy.
Know your invisible enemy.
Know your invisible enemy.
Know your enemy. And be united.
Be united.
Be united at all levels. Against all wickedness. Eliminate disloyalty. Don't deal with your enemy in the spirit of benevolence. Whoa. Be courageous. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Be strong. Whoa,
whoa, whoa. Tap your neighbor and say, be strong.
And courageous.
Be strong. Whoa, whoa. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong.
For a great door
is open. A great door is open. A great door.
But there are many.
There are many adversaries.
Adversaries.
I say a great door has been opened in Cape Town.
So be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord.
Of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, so you might observe to do according to all that's written. So shall thou make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Behold, I have commanded you. Be strong and be of good courage. Be strong. Oh, and courageous. Oh, say be strong.
Is it beautiful? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Please don't walk out at this time. I'm going to close us and then we all close together, please. Jesus, thank you. Lift your hands and thank God for making you into a good general, a good fighting general who is ready for war, ready to serve. Ready to live in an environment of confusion and mystery and war. But who's ready? Rama Lobas Bolodikle, Kramadole, Melilo, Glaklas, Madaklobleg. Blessed be the name of the Lord who has found us worthy, 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 worthy. Lord, we thank you for calling us at this time, blessing us in this great work to be mighty generals serving you. Lift your hand and receive the mantle of a general, a fighter who fights a good fight and makes war, following the Lamb. Lord is teaching your hands to war. God is teaching your hands to war. God is teaching your hands to war. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thanks a million. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the blessing of this conference. Thank you for give thyself holy that you have brought to Cape Town. Thank you for many people here, pastors and churches, that are going to give themselves wholly to ministry, to serving you, to loving you, to following you, and to bearing fruit. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for what you have done. Now receive the Spirit of the Lord right now. Receive an impartation of the Holy Spirit, an impartation of a good general, of a good fighter. A good fighter released by the Lord. Of a higher rank you shall be. Of a higher rank you shall be. Of a greater rank you shall be. You shall destroy the enemy. You shall bring down the strongholds, the wickedness of the land. For the church shall be strong. The church shall be mighty. The church shall no longer be led by wimps and men who have no muscle and no desire to fight. But the church shall be led by an army of hard followers and fighters who are ready to take new territories. The church shall no longer be led by men of passivity, men of compromise, men who do nothing but want to receive. The time has come for the fighters to be released to fight for the kingdom of the Lord. Lift your hand and receive your rank. Receive the spirit of the fighter, spirit of the warrior, spirit of the good general. The blessing of the Lord comes upon your life. You are released and blessed and favored to serve God all the days of your life. Father, we are grateful tonight. You have done a great work. Lay hands on your head. Receive the anointing of the Spirit. Be covered with the mantle, with the glory, with the holy power of the Holy Spirit. You never lack any good thing. You always come out on top. You win and have the upper hand in every war, in every battle, in every fight. God gives you the upper hand in the fight for building, in the fight for churches, for fight for church growth, in the fight for prosperity, the fight for entering the ministry, the fight for following the call of God, the fight in marriage. God gives you the upper hand. He pours His grace and His love upon you. Receive the mantle of a general, a colonel, a captain in the house of the Lord, a captain in the army of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. It's happened. It's happened. Coloreds have been released to fight. Blacks have been released to fight. All kinds of people have been released to fight a good fight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a mighty shout and a clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Are you glad God is turning you into a fighting soldier for Jesus? What a blessing. Congratulate the nearest good general who is standing near you and salute the person, general, whatever the person's name is, and say, general, so and so, I am so excited to know you and to meet a fellow commander in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Hallelujah. Wow, 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 wow. Hallelujah. How many want to hear more things about the good general? Hey! I shared with you only 4 chapters, and there are about 100 chapters in the book. So you can imagine. But I'm sure there's going to be another opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tell your neighbor, soldiers are never tired. Tell your neighbor, soldiers cannot be inconvenienced. You know, one day I was talking to a soldier and I asked him, what are some of the things you do in your training? He said, one of the things, we go on the field and we don't bat for 3 months. Yes. No bathing for 3 months. What a shock. You may be seated.